G'day, it's Bernie Gaynor. You can find me every week on goodsource.news with my Sunday Bernie Gaynor show. I also write for bernardgaynor.com.au. And I'm joined today by Kiralee Smith, who runs Binary, which is an organisation set up to counter radical gender theory in Australia. Kiralee, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Bernie.
If I could get you just to start by explaining how long Binary has been around and what it is and what it does.
Yeah, we've been around for almost 2 years now. We were born out of the Marriage Alliance organisation that was around for the campaign of same-sex marriage. And during that campaign, you know, so many people and organisations warned about the consequences of degendering marriage. And now we're living in the fruit of that, I guess you'd say. So Binary is an organisation set up to educate, inform and advocate to defend gender and to promote male and female, the binary reality of sex and gender. That is, that science confirms, that tradition confirms, that is common sense to most people. Unfortunately, it's being attacked on many levels, and so we're very busy as an organisation, standing in many different spheres and particularly lobbying politicians to ensure that parental rights and common sense prevails in the area of gender.
Yeah, now, so you've had some great results. For instance, during the recent by-election in Eden Monaro, Binary had a big impact. Can you just talk us through what you did there?
Yeah, the former mayor, who is now the member for Eden Monaro, she has been an advocate for safe schools, and when she was a part of that council, she was advocating or strongly wanting funding for safe schools in her area. And it came to our attention that most people in Eden Monaro would be unaware of that, and so we created a commercial, an ad that went pretty viral, and more than almost half of all the voters in that region got to see the ad. And there was a swing against Labor. Unfortunately, she was successful in securing the seat, but it was a real fight. And I believe that the information that we provided to voters that she is, you know, a strong proponent of safe schools, which is a dangerous ideology for our children, certainly played and influenced the outcome of that election.
Well, I hope to see a lot more of Binary in action in the coming years. Now, you spoke about it being a dangerous ideology. What impact does gender ideology have on lives? Can you go through, I guess, some of the issues that are not really addressed in mainstream media?
Well, I mean, that's a massive question, Bernie. It impacts people on so many different levels. Of course, there's the individual, the family level, then there's the community and social and political levels. So we're seeing at the moment, a lot of people may have heard or read about what's called rapid onset gender dysphoria, and we're seeing what that means basically is like there's a trans trend, particularly among teenagers and particularly among teenage girls, which is very out of the usual for what has, you know, there's always been transgender people among us or gender diverse people among us. And generally that was adults choosing to identify a particular way and not imposing that on the rest of the society. However, in recent years, and particularly since the degendering of marriage, this has become just a worldwide phenomenal trend of influencing teenagers, and we're seeing girls who once would have been described as tomboys or lesbians even are now identifying as transgender. Unfortunately, what we're also seeing is a huge amount of those girls who are now regretting going down that pathway of medicalizing or having medications or irreversible surgeries, who are regretting that decision. So on that level, that's devastating, it's harmful, it's tragic. To look up and follow any of these people on social media is absolutely heartbreaking. Then you've got the family level, where families are being torn apart, because even here in Australia, in some states, principals have more authority than parents when it comes to their own children. So if a principal, if a child goes to the principal or to the school and wants to be called by a different name, identify as a different gender, the principal and the social workers in that school often have more authority than a parent and are able to endorse that child's desires without having any intervention from specialists, psychologists, doctors, or the like. And that's very, very alarming. Courts in Australia can grant authority to those children and to schools or to other carers as well. So parental rights are really being threatened. And unfortunately, I'm contacted by many families who are impacted by this, whose children are being, you know, separated or divided from the family unit and are not getting the support from the family that they need to have, that we all know families are the best place to have that nurturing, that encouragement and that help through some very difficult times during their teenage years. We're seeing it also at a political level and a social level. Women's sport is being hugely impacted. There's a massive debate going on in that realm where Sport Australia and the Human Rights Commissions are actually recommending that sporting organisations accept and actually enforce that, particularly where transgender, where a male sports person wants to compete as a female, that everybody should embrace that and accept that. And that's to the detriment of women. It creates an unfair playing field and it often creates a very dangerous playing field in some of those sports. So it's absolutely staggering. There's been a few politicians who have spoken out about it and a few female politicians who have spoken out about it who have been absolutely attacked, bullied, harassed, intimidated by the LGBT community or activists, more like it, sorry. And it's absolutely horrifying to watch what's going on. But we're seeing, you know, the debates going on in schools, the debates going on in public policy. In New South Wales earlier this year, Gladys Berejiklian and the Minister for Women refused to define what a woman actually is and allowed a male to be eligible and a finalist in the New South Wales Women of the Year Awards. So it blows my mind the way that this ideology is infiltrating every area of our society.
So, Kiralee, just on that, I know that the same woke people who are pushing this transgenderism claim to be feminists, but isn't it, as an observation of mine, isn't it the highest form of the evil patriarchy, if you want to call it that, to have a system that allows men to be portrayed or applauded as being better at being a woman than most women? Isn't that just a strange irony?
Absolutely. And, I mean, it makes me laugh, but it also makes me so sad because this is exactly what's happening. You know, we're all told to sit down, be quiet, shut up and accept that. And even better, a lot of the time it's the middle-aged, privileged white male, you know, that you and I don't, you know, buy into that narrative, but they do. And they're telling us that that those middle-aged, privileged white males are much better at being women than we are, so much so that they're getting the Business Women of the Year Awards, they're getting the New South Wales Women of the Year Awards, they're getting, you know, scholarships, they're in beauty pageants, they're, you know, they're just in every area, in sport, and we're meant to stand up and cheer. And I just think, this world is absolutely insane and you've got to be kidding if you think that we're going to sit down, shut up and take it.
It is insane. And I just want to step back a little bit to something you mentioned earlier, because I have looked at some of these stories of particularly women who have been confused when they're in their teenage years. They've been, all this indoctrination has been thrust at them and they've gone down a hormonal and a surgical path that has essentially robbed them of the ability to become a mother, to have their own family and all the joy and happiness that I think every parent shares when they have a child and when they are able to form a family. Can you just talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, you're right. And this is a very serious and a very sad reality of what's happening. And these are the victims of transgender ideology. And often, you know, we just mentioned that often it is the males who are really pushing this agenda and yet it's the females who are really suffering. And it's staggering to me that the narrative too coming out is that, you know, the medication is reversible or the surgery is reversible. You know, if a female has a double mastectomy, she can get breast reconstruction surgery. But what they fail to mention is that those breasts won't be functioning, that woman, you know, will not be able to breastfeed a child if she is able to actually fall pregnant, because a lot of those medications actually stop that and interfere with the reproductive systems in such a way that those women will never have that opportunity. And as we all know, teenagers are, and children in particular, are not capable of making life-altering decisions. That's why we have laws in place that don't enable them to drive a vehicle, to drink alcohol, to get married, to have tattoos even. You can't get a tattoo if you're under 16. There's so many things that we don't allow children to do because we know that their brains are not fully developed and that that capacity in their brain to make major life decisions is not fully developed until they're adults. And yet this radical gender ideology is pushing a narrative that children should be able to decide what gender they want to identify as and that they should be able to have access to medications and irreversible surgeries that do irrevocable harm. And it's very distressing. Thankfully, there are some doctors and organisations even here in Australia now that are pushing back. There was an article in The Australian today about the gender clinic in Melbourne wants to do double mastectomies on people under 17, girls under 17 years of age, and that's horrifying. But the National Association of Psychiatrists and others are saying that's unacceptable, and I think we're going to be in for some interesting times coming up as those medical specialists and the ideology activists will clash.
Now, there are interesting times. So Mark Latham, the One Nation MP from New South Wales, has introduced a bill very recently into the New South Wales Parliament to ban gender indoctrination in the school system and to reassert the right of parents to have control and primacy over the moral education of their children. What's Binary's position on this bill? Is it a much needed piece of reform?
Absolutely is. We conducted a poll earlier this year about parental rights, and that supports 100%. Well, I support Mark's bill 100%, but the poll even showed that almost 80% of parents around Australia want the right to know what their children are being taught in school and to have the right to remove their children from classes that are teaching inappropriate content. And that was across the board. That was coalition voters, Labor voters, One Nation voters, you name it. Almost 80% of all voters in Australia want that right. And here's Mark, thankfully, taking that ball, running with it, and he's revealed that, you know, even though Safe Schools was banned in 2017, that the New South Wales Berejiklian government and others have found a backdoor by promoting and funding and endorsing programs that encourage teachers to bring this ideology into not just a subject in school but into every subject, where they're using language and pronouns and radical gender agenda in maths, history, science, you name it, and teachers are being taught to do this for students as young as three, which is absolutely horrifying. So we do support Mark's bill, and we do want to see the New South Wales government take this very seriously, because parents around Australia, and particularly in New South Wales, do not want this form of indoctrination in their schools, and the government's both sides better sit up and take notice.
Now, in your dealing with politicians in New South Wales, how seriously do you think the Liberal National Coalition, which is supposed to be conservative, how seriously will they take this bill?
Well, that's a bit of a lucky dip, Bernie. I guess in my experience, my observations even lately is they're anything but a conservative government, and they make absolutely mind-boggling decisions. And thankfully, we do have people like Mark Latham in there. Now, I know some of the coalition members, MPs and MLCs, and they're good people, and they are on side. They've made contact with me. They've been open to meetings. They've even taken some of our anti-PC PNC packs to distribute in their own electorates. Yet I do fear they're in the minority. I'm not sure how it will go when it comes to voting on the floor. I'm not sure how it will go when it comes to an absolute outright policy on these things. But I'm very hopeful. You know, Mark's got a very strong voice in the media, in the public, and I hope in the parliament. And I'm hoping that he will be able to shine enough light on this issue that we will be able to persuade those politicians to make the right decision, because otherwise they're going to find themselves so disconnected from the voter, because our poll, which, you know, we polled thousands of people, was very conclusive that parents do not want this indoctrination in schools.
Now, parents might not want it, but we have these radicals who are successfully pushing this stuff into the school system. Otherwise, we would not have the need for Mark's bill, which obviously we do. So how organised are these radicals? Can you give any insight into how well-funded they are, how well-organised they are? Essentially, do they give their life to this kind of crazy ideology?
Yeah, they're exceptionally well organized, and I'm sure most of your viewers are very familiar with, you know, the Marxist ideology and all that underpins that. You know, this has been a very slow burn. It's been something that these activists have been committed to for a century. You know, it's there in plain sight, written in the manifestos, written in the documents of all of these ideologies, that it is a goal to degender marriage and to degender society, to deconstruct families, to do all of those things. So this has been going on for a very, very long time. It's very well funded by left and extremist groups, but it's also very well funded by the taxpayer. There's so many grants that are given to these extremist organisations. So we're really fighting an uphill battle here. You know, as I said, our organisation isn't even 2 years old yet. We were born out of the ashes of the marriage campaign. And I think that what you'll find, there's a lot of conservatives or even just everyday Australians who go about their business, do their jobs, raise their families and aren't terribly politically engaged, whereas these activists are very politically engaged and they do dedicate their entire lives to this cause. So we come in behind the eight ball, but I'm confident that we can get enough attention and enough funding and enough emphasis on this issue that we can persuade these politicians to make the right decisions.
Okay, so Kiralee, they're very well funded, organised. They've got taxpayer support. What's your advice to the families out there who are opposed to this polling shows? What can they do to support Mark's bill or to support Binary, and where can they get more information?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of information on our website, binary.org.au. You can follow Mark as well, obviously. He's got some great links, and you've got an opportunity, particularly if you live in New South Wales, to complete a survey. I've got the links if anyone wants those to send your message to the government. But my encouragement is to all of you, get engaged, be very politically active, speak to your local members, write letters and emails, follow organisations such as mine, and there's many others that are doing similar works. It's very important that our voice is heard. Those politicians can only act on what they're being told, the advice they're given, the numbers they're seeing, and everything's a numbers game to those politicians. So they have to be convinced that, you know, we are in the majority and we will use our votes accordingly and we will use our voices accordingly. So please don't underestimate how powerful your voice is, because it's essential and we need you.
That's some great advice, Kiralee. For those watching, your voice is powerful, but it will only be powerful if you take the effort to make it heard. So please go to the Binary website if you need more information and support Mark's bill and get involved in the political process. Kiralee, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for the great work you do with Binary, and we wish you all the best on this current campaign.
Thank you so much, Bernie. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
That's it for the Bernie Ganner Show today. I'd like to put a plug in for Dave Pallo, who is working incredible hours behind the scenes to produce and bring you all the content on Good Source News. He's doing a great job, and none of this would be possible without his hard work and efforts. If you missed the excellent interview with Mark Drury on Good Source earlier or last week, make sure you go and check it out, especially if you want some understanding and insight into the threat that Islam poses our Western society. And stay tuned this week, there's plenty of great content coming up. Make sure you click like, make sure you share the posts, and if you can, please sign up and support with donations on a weekly, monthly basis to keep goodsource.news going. Free speech is not free, and without your help, Good Source simply cannot continue.
The Bernard Gaynor Show is a production of The Good Source, hosted by Bernard Gaynor. To watch, listen to, or read more content without the SJW PC fact filter, visit goodsource.news, good, S-A-U-C-E, dot news. Become a Good Source supporter for exclusive access to live and unedited interview recordings, including the conversations before and after the show.